Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 3 for the Psalm meditation today. Be using the New King James Bible. Psalm 3, titled here by the editors, "The Lord Helps His Troubled People." Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise against me. Many are those who say of me, "There is no help for him in God." But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid for 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Now, the superscription here in Psalm 3 is the Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now, I began listening to my psalm the last time I did this psalm, because it's still up on sermon audio after these 3.5 years. And I looked a little bit more on that time to David's position during this, when he wrote this psalm, when he was fleeing from Absalom, his son. But I'm going to go straight to the punchline, or straight to the end of the story here, and say this psalm again is not primarily about David. So often when we read other people talking of the psalms or speaking of them, they look at the Old Testament setting of it and they think that's the end all of it, or they teach mostly on that. But Jesus himself, again, as I've said over and over, says that the psalms all speak of him. And that David, in his role as king of Israel on the earth, was a picture of Jesus as king of kings over the entire earth. And there are clues through that throughout the Psalms. There's some, like last week when we sang Psalm 2, that is very obvious. And I don't understand why people have trouble transitioning from Psalm 2 being about Jesus to Psalm 3 being about him. But somehow Psalm 3 must be about David. Here we see, if we look at this from the point of Jesus, as he's getting ready to go to his crucifixion, it makes perfect sense, and it fits, and it applies very well. Jehovah, or Yahweh, it starts out. Again, when you see the Lord in all capitals, that's the covenant name of God. It is not merely Adonai or Lord, Master. That's the covenant name, the God that spoke to Moses out of the bush. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, "There is no help from him in God." Now, we don't know that people said that specifically of David during his life, but we know they said that of Jesus. That if you are the Son of God, then have him take you from that cross. But you, O Jehovah, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to Jehovah with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. The picture here would be of Jesus crying out to the Father from the garden, asking for strength to go through with what he needs to be, what needs to do. And the Father helping him through it, being a shield. And then again from the cross, after the punishment for your sin, people, was accomplished, crying out for the Father to receive his Spirit. And knowing that the Father heard his voice and accepted his sacrifice at the time the temple curtain split. Knowing that salvation was accomplished, that the trials of his life were finished and the work that he set out to perform was done. And then we have the Selah there, and that's often thought to mean stop and think. And we have a transition that he heard me from his holy hill, and then I lay down and slept. And I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Now, laying down and sleeping is an idiom used quite often in Hebrew poetry for dying and laying in the tomb, laying in the grave. Not going to hell, as some people misunderstand. But again, if you think of this as being about Jesus and not being about David, if you put it in the context where I've just explained, it should make your flesh tingle, your hair stand up on end. That as he was being punished, as he cried out from the cross, the Father heard him. He cried out to the Lord with my voice, he said, and he heard me from his holy hill. The salvation was accomplished then. And so Jesus says, I lay down and slept. But I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Salvation having been accomplished, he arose again on the third day. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. If you've read your New Testament, and you've all heard me say over and over, you can't understand the new if you don't know the old, And again, you can't understand the old if you don't know the new. Here Jesus is arisen then and set at the right hand of the Father as the King of Kings. And he will not be afraid for 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. For he knows he's been destined. He's called to be that king. And as the Son of God, none can stand against him. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Again, arise me, O Jehovah. Save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now, David couldn't say that all his enemies had been dealt the killing stroke or the disabling stroke, but Jesus could. Even though people still try to stand against him, they have no chance of winning. For the stroke of the salvation of Jesus and the installation of the Messiah on God's holy hill has been done. And none can stand against that, and none can stop it. The idiom there in the end of verse 7 doesn't mean so much to us today. But think of in a day before dentistry or false teeth or anything of the sort. If you're a strong warrior guy and someone breaks all your teeth out, you're consigned then for the rest of your life to eating gruel, soft foods. You can't eat battle rations, meat, things to keep you strong anymore. You're weakened, destroyed, even though you're not killed. The image here isn't of people who are struck and killed, but struck and made powerless so they can no longer stand against the Lord. In the end, salvation belongs to Jehovah. Your blessing is upon your people. This psalm is about salvation. Salvation being essayed, salvation being accomplished, salvation being applied. And how Jehovah, the covenant God, stood with his Messiah. And after Jesus paid the punishment, raised him from the grave and set him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but more importantly, as the King over his people. And now his people are blessed by the Father through the Son, as the Son stands there as mediator for his people and for his church. It's a great psalm, far better than some king being chased in the desert by his son, and he hopes that God can put him back on his throne someday. But this is about the King of Kings on his throne, calling, keeping, and blessing his people. So let us sing Psalm 3, and sing it knowledgeably, not just for the tune, but for the words, and for this idea of our King being with us, standing before the Father. Psalm 3.